Hello, hello. All right. We are back. What is up? You finally have myself and Javier in the same room. It's fine. I'm only a little mad. You keep abandoning me just to go have fun with your family. Whatever. It's fine. Do you, bro? Javi, what's up, my friend?
Doing great. Glad to be back. Energized.
Ready. Yeah, to energized. Looking good. Those glasses are looking fly. But with that said, we're going to dive in a bit, but let's get us kicked off right. Aaron Thomas, let's go. So Javi, what were you doing last week, man? I missed you. Thursday, we had just no resting. You.
Were just you with resting for once?
Just resting. Yeah, getting bombarded by emails and saying, "Not today, Satan. Not today." Yeah.
That's what the autoresponder is for.
Yes, out of office, mofos. But he hearts you.
I often wonder if everyone knows what the triple O means. The ooh.
If you don't know what the triple O means, well, we just said it. It's out of office. It's a wonderful, wonderful not moniker. My dog is very excited about that. But Javier, there's a lot to chat about today. I will say, I think we're all in waiting mode. We're all in just waiting for Thursday to come around. I don't know about you, but the Senate Banking Committee gets to chat about safe banking for the first. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time that they've chatted about it specifically, that committee? Mm-hmm. I actually don't know the answer to that, but yeah, this is the quickest that it will ever happen for sure. And it's also being discussed in the House, as we know.
There's quite a bit of optimism as well. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York, you know, is pretty optimistic about safe banking finally becoming a law. He said, "We finally have momentum, basically. We need to do social justice and attach it to the SAFE Act and pass it together." He added as well during the NYC Cannabis Parade and Rally last Saturday. So I'm with you all the way. I can't wait when we'll come back and celebrate here in Union Square in the near future and say cannabis is legalized in all of the United States of America. Mr. Chuck Schumer.
You know, it's weird. I'm in a weird place with that comment. I don't know about you. It's not that I disagree or agree with him, but like historically looking, anytime he adds social justice to it, it becomes a sticking point for the other side of the aisle.
Yeah.
Right. And he's not going to add it until after it's through the banking committee in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't add it until then, you know, do the Republican sponsors, do they stay quiet until they see what he's going to do? I don't know. I'm speculating. It's all speculation. I mean,
yeah. Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't change anything. You got Merkley and Blumenauer co-sponsoring for the Democrats, Steve Daines and David Joyce for the Republicans, bipartisan support in both chambers. You know, I care more about social justice than I care about banking, to be very honest, on a personal level. But
you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like you see, like just historically looking at how this has played out, you know, mm-hmm. there is a sticking point and I feel like we haven't gotten there yet.
Exactly.
But I will say we do have people that are, you know, they've been players in this before. They listen to the politicians, they talk to the politicians and you know, they haven't been the most popular after it's failed. The past, you know, 7-8 times. But Brady Cobb, it's different this time. Buckle up, right? We have a lot of comments from leaders like him that are excited right now and people who have been burned, you know, but like I respect Brady and what he's doing and, you know, his position there. So, I mean, it's interesting to see people like him say that.
Yeah, I mean, here's to hoping. Honestly, again, if it ain't broke, then don't fix it.
Yeah, amen, man. Well, let's get to some news. Let's spend our last few minutes. What's happening in the world of cannabis, my Argentinian action figure bestie?
One very interesting news item out of AeroPay, the payments platform, right, for cannabis and other industries as well, teamed up with KindTap to offer the most robust solution available for compliant contactless payments. The idea is to accept digital credit at checkout. So this is interesting for many companies out there. However, as we've seen again and again, like every payments processor will promise they have the most efficient and effective payment solution. We have yet to see one that works flawlessly.
Excuse me, teacher, can I ask a question?
Shoot.
So just really curious here, is the issue not Visa and MasterCard and Discover not accepting cannabis payments? Isn't that the issue?
Among many other things, definitely that is one of the hurdles. They really can't go through the traditional payment system one way or another. People had found workarounds for this, but of course, again, like, you know, honestly, none of the card issuers were particularly happy with that. So this solution is still like, you know, the customers can choose to link their bank for seamless ACH transfers or apply for digital credit. None of which is a credit card payment. Nothing in cannabis is straightforward, right? There's no point A to point B. There's always point A to Y, X, M, then B.
You just like described the entire cannabis space in a nutshell. Well said. We just got a notification, by the way. Ascend Wellness, that's AAWH on the OTC, announces the appointment of John Hartman as permanent CEO, nice. Effective May 15th. So that is exciting. And they also announced some changes to the board of directors. Been a few kind of major leadership changes recently. I think we had an ancillary player work that changed their CEO. You know, so it's interesting to continue to see some of these executive turnover.
I mean, it's the last people standing. Is, you know, remember a few shows ago, we were talking to Mike Karnstein at Kronos, one of the few original CEOs. And you know, it's...
Also, it's that man tough, still looks right? Like he's 30. Like, you know, like, I'm like, how are you an original CEO? I feel like you're my 30. Age.
He's like
30. He's not 30.
He's like 33. I'm not kidding you. I remember this.
And, there's and no way. Somebody look this up. How old is Mike Gorenstein?
Dude, I remember when I first met him, he was like 20-something. He's definitely under 40. That I can confirm.
That, I mean, how is he not on? I mean, okay. 33. Holy 100%. What the hell am I doing with my life? Jesus. I need to get it together. All right, dude. Let's do a quick fire here, man. What else is happening? We had IIPR report earnings yesterday. It seemed to be pretty good. The market responded pretty positively, at least to start the day. Up 5% last time I checked, which was a while ago, to be fair. Mm-hmm. What else, man?
I mean, I'm talking about Kronos. Those earnings really caught my eye as well. That they saw a decline of 19.5% in revenue year over year. All of the results from Kronos for Q1 2023 signaling some kind of pricing pressure. We had a gross profit down 65%, gross profit margins of 11%, down from 27%. Again, massive one. Net loss of $19 million. That's the only big improvement from last year, where they lost almost $32 million. So they are streamlining operations, I think, to face some of these pricing pressures and increased competition.
Awesome. I love that. One more thing from me. I apologize. I didn't even give you the heads up about this. I don't know if you saw, but per the Green Market report, Delaware may not launch adult use sales until 2025, according to PS. Yeah. So they have to accept adult use license applications by August 2024. They're currently in search of a commissioner, regulatory body, et cetera. But it seems it's going to be a year and a half away at the earliest, according to this Green Market Report article, that Delaware gets started adult use. So that's the fall of 2024. But they say operators will probably need a few months to get up and going, which would be obviously very late 2024 or early 2025.
Big shout out, by the way, to John Scheuer at Green Market Report. His reporting is awesome.
Oh, I honestly, listen, if I had to read anything other than Benzinga, it's probably Deborah and her team over there. I very much enjoy their articles. So shout out to Deb. Send it to them. Yeah, no, this is not, you know, no, you're never allowed to go there. Listen, we just lost viewers to go see Green Market Report. No, just kidding. We love those guys. Anyways, dude, I think you have one more headline on here that I want you to call out further, but the Cannabis Chart of the Week. I love it this week.
Look at this message that they dropped for you.
Change agent. My God.
I'm going to read it for the podcast.
I appreciate people. You.
Elliot said, what am I doing with my life? And Change Agent goes, what are you doing with your life? You're going to make us rich, giving us informational edge, and we won't forget you, Chief. Don't.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Change Agent. Both of us appreciate you. Tell your friends, or don't tell your friends. You know, you have the edge up on them, and then you can rub it in their face. but it all comes from Javier and his ethics for never investing in cannabis stocks.
Or crypto.
Or
crypto.
That's just a personal preference.
A new report out of New Frontier Data that I liked that was pretty interesting. 42% of U.S. adults said they have used cannabis and are likely to do so again, with another 15% expressing interest in trying cannabis in the future. You can go to benzinga.com/cannabis after the show and find out what else did this report look into. Maybe things like, why are people using cannabis? Is it for medical relief or relaxation? How is acceptance changing? Very, very interesting findings to better understand the dynamics of the market in the U.S.
You know what I don't understand? Maybe we can get our guests' input on this when we bring them over here in a second. I feel like we should see more marketing teams taking advantage of studies like these to introduce their products to new consumers. I don't see any like creative marketing, you know, with studies like these. Do you think I'm wrong? I'm happy to be wrong there, Javi, but you know, I feel like this is like an opening the door situation, right?
Some of the decisions are data driven and informed. A lot of it is just like, you know, thinking as a consumer. That there's a lot of that in cannabis. It's like, because I like it, it needs to work. And it does to a certain point, but then you need to reach a new scale. I had a meeting about that with the team at El Planteo, right, our Latin American outlet yesterday. And it's like, okay, for 3 years, it's worked, you know, doing what we like and people love it, right? We're the most read cannabis news outlet in the Spanish-speaking world. Now, how do we retain more of that readership? How do we get more people to subscribe to our newsletters? And that is where you need to start being a lot more data-driven, right? The intuition and the I know the market works to a certain point. But then you've reached all that demographic, all that group of people who think like you, who like the same things as you, right? And then you start to inform your decisions with more data, with third-party data.
Awesome, man. So with that being said, we need to move on to our guest who is awesome. I'm super excited for this. Really appreciate the CEO of Heritage Cannabis joining us, David Schwede. Hello, David. What's up, my friend? How are you? I see that muted microphone. Just FYI, go ahead and take that off for us. But what is up, man?
He's like, no.
Not much. Just hanging out. Yeah, I was going to not unmute and just try the show.
That is a very, very cannabis consumer thing to do. You have the right to remain silent. It's like, yes, sir, I will.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Well, what's up, man? Tell us about you. What, like, you're the CEO of Heritage, which is, in my opinion, one of the cooler up-and-coming companies. But maybe I have that wrong. Maybe you guys are pretty established. But tell us a little bit from your perspective. What is Heritage Cannabis?
Yeah, so Heritage is we're a Canadian group. We cover all of Canada in primarily concentrates. So lots of vapes, lots of dabs, lots of infused products. And we kind of look at the market, I think, in a different lens than what's going on in a lot of ways right now. We're one of the only groups that I'm aware of that is got an actual home base in Canada that's expanding outside of Canada. I go around and kind of say, we don't have any goalposts. Because we're on the CSE, we can kind of run free. We can go into the U.S. and have our brands. We can go across borders and do export. And so that leaves the premise of hope that I think we once all saw back in the day still there. So we started in Missouri, West Virginia, and then just recently launched into New York here. And I'm sure we can go through that a little bit. But yeah, we focus on products people want. And I kind of, you know, stick with forever SKUs. So things that are going to last forever, just like tobacco, just like alcohol, we have to make something that's going to stand the test of time and continue to delight customers. And they're the boss. And here we go.
Can I just have a follow up there, Javi, and then you can jump in? And you're choosing some pretty awesome markets in the U.S. and Missouri, and what will be an awesome market in the New York market, right? But how are you expanding into those markets? Are you licensing your brand specifically?
So we actually don't have any licensing deals at all. We kind of we do it a little bit different. So all the states that we're going into and the partners that we have, it's a mutual relationship. It's not just a pull or just a push. They're using our brand, our formulations, years and years and years of actual legal in-market manufacturing, distribution, sales that lets them start without burning tons of cash right out of the gate learning, because it's expensive to learn. Look around the last couple of years. There's a lot of learning. You're talking about changeover of executives. There's a lot of learning that's been going on. And so we provide what we've learned, and it's a mutual relationship. They've got the license and the location, and often in the US they're tied to retail in some fashion, which is great. It guarantees a little bit coming in the door right out of the gate. And we provide our best brand for first, which is Rad, really awesome dope. It's a 80s throwback, you know, fun brand.
That I love that.
That was funny.
Yeah, it focuses on high THC, high flavor, and that's what everyone's loving right now. And so we slapped that together in a couple different formats, but no licensing deals per se, like on paper. They're structured differently. And we go for long-term relationships, asset light in most cases, like the New York deal, because if you do look us up, you know, we aren't big. We've never been big. We punch above our weight class, and we like to, you know, go to concerts and be on stage versus whispering at the concert and doing Me Too products. That's kind of how we are. Hopefully it catches on one day and we've got the same access to grow as everybody else. But today we'll just continue to earn it and wake up every day at 5 a.m. and go to sleep at 5 a.m. and it'll be perfect.
That's insane. Listen, you mentioned these forever products. I like that concept. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? And like, what is a forever product in cannabis, right? Because if you ask me, like, a forever product is like good flower, right? Like everyone would love flower forever. But
like, yeah, so what exactly
is your view and how is it special and proprietary or different?
Yeah. So I think you got to pick each product in general, though. Like the umbrella of a forever SKU is like the forever music that Jay-Z talks about. You've got stuff that is literally rock and roll Hall of Fame people that are no longer with us still earning that forever SKU. So I think on our side, like we've got a product, Blue Skittles. It is a very, very, it's unbelievably delicious blue raspberry flavor that we can put into everything. We've got it into vapes, infused hashes, infused pre-rolls, across the board. It's a forever SKU for us. It's a high earner, high margin. And that's one we go to markets with and we know we're going to smash it. If you're a flower producer, it's exactly the same thing. Like, you know, when you've got good flower, everybody tells you, they go out of their way to tell you, they line up to get it because you've only got so much of it. That's the stuff you want to be producing so that you can focus on innovation and growth and not be focusing on the SKUs that you know sell. How do you grow if you keep having to go back to the original drawing board and build a foundation?
I love that. I love the Jay-Z reference. It's perfect. I'm still listening to Reasonable Doubt, which came out in 96 every week. So
there you go. I just listened to Alanis Morissette on Monday.
Well, if Jay-Z ever
big jump, isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
I mean, both are fantastic artists. That's all we have to say. So, you know, David, you sit in a very interesting position. There aren't many companies out there who operate marijuana-touching companies in both Canada and the U.S.
Yeah.
Right? So you have an interesting perspective into this. You know, I just spoke to a Canadian company yesterday who are like, listen, Canada's way worse than the U.S. You all should learn from our mistakes a lot quicker than you are. You know, then you look at the U.S. and, you know, market by market, it's different. You have different licensing structures. You have different price compression, you know, situations and illicit market obstacles. You know, what are you seeing? You know, I guess we'll start with the similarities. What's similar for you between operating a marijuana touching company in each country?
The products. That's kind of it. Honestly, it's a completely different playbook. And so my packaging's better in the U.S. than it is in Canada. But some of your costs are the same, like your base costs are the same. Your input materials by state are drastically different. You're north of $15,000 a kilo in new states, where you're $5,500 a kilo in a two-year-old state. So the drastic differences are the fact that in the US, primarily from manufacturing, you're not paying excise, which I think is phenomenal. It's wild to think that there's enough money in manufacturing left over when retail's dictating the price. So if retail price goes down, manufacturing price still stays the same. Nobody just calls into all the input providers and says, hey, we've lowered our price at retail. You have to lower your price for inputs. Once inputs hit the floor, if taxes are flat rate, the whole thing's broken, because you can't have prices drop by 50%, but excise stay the same. So in Canada, that's what's happened. You could buy a vape for $60, a 1 gram vape. Now you buy the same vape for $29.95. Excise is exactly the same. And so that's the only issue with New York that I think that they're going to recognize really quickly is going to become an issue. And it's going to be an issue by the way they collect the tax. And I think by the way that the tax is administered, it's only 20% cheaper than Canada right now. Like on launch, it's 80 cents a milligram or 0.8 cents a milligram. And in Canada, it's 1 cent a milligram for extracts specifically. So it's only 20% cheaper. And they take that from manufacturing, and then they take from retail and all the way down the line. So that's one. I think that they're drastically different in most states other than New York right now that we're in. The packaging is much cooler in the US. I find that the RAD brand is actually RAD, mm-hmm. whereas in Canada, it's brand.
Touché.
All white.
Yeah. So, and that, I think that that's the other one. And then I think you've got no size constraints in the US. Like you can put out larger vape sizes. There's less limitations on milligrams and things like that. I think there's just a lot more freedom to be a producer and to market and sell product and try to stand out. And it's like that whole thing, whispering at a concert versus being on stage. In the US, I feel right now in the states that we're in, we can be on stage. Whereas in Canada, we're whispering at a concert, hey, I've got a vape and it tastes like a thing.
Wow.
Here's, now I'm wondering, like in the longer term,
yep,
is like that level of freedom a good thing, right? Or like, can it backfire in some shape, way, or form, right? We've seen some of this
in on many the brand games, or the producer, like, you mean?
Potency cannabis and okay. No limitations to marketing. Even like Juul, right, outside of cannabis, was affected by this, right? Like, is there a middle point or? Well, or are you a believer in this like total freedom and self-regulation?
So it's already not total freedom. So I think that it's an already regulated freedom with like very realistic expectations. You have to put the warning labels on the bag. Totally agree. The products have to be child resistant. Totally agree. Bottle of vodka doesn't yet, but we'll see that one day. I think that,
yeah, man, that's a great one, actually. I had never thought of that before. It's like, that is glass And it's not childproof. It's like the most dangerous thing.
Yeah. And so I think they've done a great job. Like in all the regulations, I think it's safe. I think that that's the most important thing. And then from there, as long as it's safe and we can prove that it's safe and you know, from there, you kind of look at it and look at the different markets and you look at where the restrictions lie. As long as they allow us to stand out and be a brand, I think we're rocking and rolling. Where you can't stand out, I think it's an issue, because then it comes down, it starts to run into who's got the bigger pocketbook to last the longest.
Well, that's a big challenge in cannabis right now.
Yeah.
If you get the answer, please do tell us.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. So, you know, kind of circling back here, what are your thoughts on, you know, the state of the political scene right now? Do you go into this as, you know, this type of situation looking for anything different as a CEO? I know you have to say you can't, but I'm just wondering if you have a different perspective than most on this.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you talking just as a whole, U.S. specific?
Yeah. Focusing on the U.S. specifically in this, you know, because it affects your growth strategy here, obviously, New York, Missouri, et cetera.
So it's kind of interesting. If you look at it, I'll give you two angles. I'll give you my angle, and then I'll give you if I'm an investor looking for opportunity. Investor looking for opportunity, you've got a Canadian group that, you know, has the ability to go into all these states, do their thing. There's no limitations. We're not on the TSX. We're not on the NASDAQ. I think that's an immense opportunity when you're relying on these large, large companies. You're relying on the government to give them the pathway for growth. They legally cannot grow in these states today, so they're buying options on companies. Whereas, like, we could literally just go in and launch. So I like Heritage as an investor because we have no limitations on our ability to grow. Somebody could come and strategically partner with us or strategically come on board with us and say, here you go, run wild. You guys seem to have the recipe to do this. So that's where I like Heritage from an investment standpoint. In terms of the politics and everything from the CEO of Heritage standpoint, weirdly enough, if you think about it, it's actually kind of a negative for my current position for legalization to occur, because then I have immense competition and I've got people coming in and there's no limitations to their ability to grow. And so now I have to compete with Kronos's of the world and the
organic. Yeah, even further, Constellations and the mainstream companies getting in. And all the social media platforms suddenly allowing companies to spend millions a month in advertising.
But it changes the game. It changes the game. And you know what? If I'm fully established at the time and I've got 6, 7, 8 states on board when this happens, maybe we're a really good partner or target or whatever it might be. But before then, I just think it's like no one found out that there was a race on Saturday at 1 o'clock except me. And if I finish and win before everybody, I definitely still get the trophy. So I don't think right now we have as much competition with the way the structure currently is. Safe banking going through is a massive help because it helps us move the money around much more easily. And actually, you know, there's less risk, right? There's the ability to do a little bit more, and maybe we can start to see some U.S. institution or U.S. investors start to look at our story, because right now it's very difficult to do anything with a U.S. entity. I think it's almost impossible, really. So that's my take.
That was a great answer. Elliot and I were in the chat, like, what a great answer. Mm-hmm. For real, I would send you the screenshots. I will.
Okay, cool. Well, it's the truth, I you know.
I got one last one. I mean, and this is more of like just because I'm curious, you know, since you're looking at the U.S., are you looking at other markets, considering, you know, other international markets?
Yep. Yeah. So I think, you know, some of the stuff we've put out, a lot of it's a slow burn, though, right? Like, we've put out some stuff on Brazil. Brazil's massive, of course. They don't have anything really set up. There's some people moving stuff in through Brazil, through Passionate. programs. And but there's their Canada 2015, where they've got all these pharmacies, they've got doctors that can prescribe the product, but they don't have a way to get people prescriptions and like start this program. So I think Brazil's on the cusp of being able to provide a medical program much very similar to Canada. It'd be great to be a part of that. And so we've put out a couple little pieces. We're in the talks. We're there. We'll see what happens. I just don't know the speed and whatnot. So we really like Brazil. And I think if you've seen us and our latest releases, there's an indicator that we're obviously trying to be an exporter of concentrate. Where we currently sit, I think we have the ability to be the leader of export of concentrate, just due to the fact that, you know, we were the first concentrate producer in Canada. We've got the ability to export on any place that can take it. So I love, you know, Portugal looks good. Australia's looking great. Brazil's looking good. Germany's obviously there. It's a lot more difficult. But I think if you can get in, you're stuck in. It's like, it's a very hard barrier to entry. And so it's worth the time to get set up there. But you could double, triple your business with exports because there's no excise taxes on exports as well. Margins are much higher. So I think if you're looking at companies, global companies are where I'm placing my bets because again, there's no goalposts on them today. So how big could they get? Well, every week a news release comes out. There's a new market, new market. So yeah, I love international. I want Heritage to be the largest exporter of concentrate in the globe, if that was ever a thing. I have to, you know, that's my big, hairy, audacious goal.
Big, hairy, audacious goal. We found the title for our podcast. But David Chwedy, really appreciate you joining us, man. Honestly, it's very interesting insights coming from somebody that's not in the U.S., but has such an extensive understanding and perspective of the U.S. Man, you're choosing some hella good markets, dude. So far, keep it so up. Good.
Knock on wood. So far, so good.
I'm anxiously looking forward to what the fourth one will be. So keep us updated. Find it out at Mazinga.com/quote/HERTF. You know, keep an eye on their quote page, y'all. But David, any last thoughts, man? Any last thoughts on Heritage, on the market itself, on what people can look for when they think about it, your ticker?
No, I think just we put out information pretty regularly. Keep an eye on it. I'm pretty door open kind of thing. Reach out if you got questions. Reach out through these guys if you got questions. And we're just starting to kind of enter the space. So happy to be here.
Awesome. David, thank you so much, my friend.
Hard to forget the CSC ticker, C-A-N-N.
C-A-N-N. Yes, that's actually a really, really good ticker. Props to them. I will say, I feel like those Canadian tickers, they go hard. What was the canopies? It was just weed.
Weed.
And then you got C-A-N-N. Man, their Canadian tickers are way better than ours. We gotta do better on this side. All right, Javi, that was a great interview, man. I really appreciated his kind of thought process into the investor angle. That was a really, really cool answer. Outside of that, we are overtime. Change agent, Rusticale, really appreciate you all writing in those kind words. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in live and also listening on the podcast after the fact, Apple, Spotify, wherever. Like and subscribe, drop a comment. It helps us, you know, reach more views. And subscribe to Benzinga Cannabis Daily Newsletter. Outside of that, Javier, last words to you, my friend.
Benzinga.com/cannabis for your daily dose of cannabis news. Here's a recommended article by our good friends at Viridian Capital Advisors who provide us the cannabis chart of the week every week. And this week, they look into a super interesting topic and one that I've been asking myself about for the last 2 years. Will stock bounce back as acquisition currency?
That's a really cool chart.
Benzinga.com/.
Yeah, it's a really good chart. We also covered it yesterday in Cannabis Daily. I'm just going to say it's all on Benzinga/cannabis. That said, Javier, appreciate you. Everybody appreciate you. Thank you, AT. Thank you, David, for joining us. We will see you again on Thursday for another interview. And we also have a special episode on Friday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be speaking with U.S. Representative David Joyce. So freaking excited to chat with him. Nice guy. We're going to chat about what's happening and get the full lowdown from the man himself. So tune in to both of our episodes later this week, and we'll see you then. Peace. Bye.